I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Week zero is this weekend, Miami and Florida on ESPN. Barrett Jones is a college football analyst for ESPN. He's going to have the weekly game on ESPN Radio starting this weekend with Miami, Florida. He joins us now. Barrett, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How are we doing? Excited to get this thing kicked off.
Yeah, every year you have a new and better assignment.
Well, excited to hear you on the big game.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a lot of fun this year. I've got some really fun games, a great schedule starting off this weekend with Miami versus Florida and Orlando, the kickoff game, and then Auburn, Oregon next week. So it should be a fast start to the season, and I'm just trying to follow you guys' footsteps.
Man,
so
please.
It should be a fun year.
We identified this early. We knew you'd be a fast riser. Yeah. I know you hate talking about yourself, but to what do you attribute this fast rise, this ascension?
Well, I guess it may be a good agent. That's what I attribute.
It's talent.
If you know, I grew up next door to a good agent, so maybe he got me. I don't know. Yeah, it was a good opportunity that popped
Congrats,
up
man.
To do radio and get the number one game. And as much as I enjoyed calling those SEC Network games, I think this will be a lot better. So it'll be a lot of fun to have a national game, and I'll get to do some West Coast and be exposed to some teams I've never been exposed to. So I'm really, really jacked up. And you know, also just I'm really excited to have a team every week. You know, I think when you're in the position I've been the last few years, you're kind of a floater and you have a different guy you're working with every week. And this year I'll be with Sean Kelly, who is the Pelicans play-by-play guy. Formerly, you guys might have run into him on the sidelines at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ian Fitzsimmons is my sideline guy and the same producer every week. So I'm excited to kind of build some cohesiveness and, you know, being an offensive lineman, we're all about that kind of stuff.
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's start with
Congrats,
the game that
brother.
You'll be on this weekend. It's the Camping World kickoff, Miami versus Florida. Florida is seeing a bit of a resurgence under Dan Mullen. Let's start with Miami, though. When you look at Manny Diaz's resume and the job that he is coming into, how do you assess it? How do you think he's going to do it, Miami?
Well, I'm a Manny Diaz guy. I think he's really sharp. I mean, you look last year, obviously. They had the fourth best defense in the country, just had a horrendous offense that could not move the football, and then eventually kind of sowed discord on the team, and there was a lot of infighting. But you can already see there's been kind of a stabilizing force. A lot of guys who talked about transferring ended up not transferring when Manny Diaz was named the coach. And so I think guys are bought in and are excited about what he's going to be able to do. He made a really smart move, I think, in hiring Dan Enos. You know, I've talked about this before on the show, but I'm a huge believer that there's really only a few guys in college football who are true quarterback whisperers, who understand how to coach and teach the quarterback position. I think more and more people are catching on how important that is with the emphasis on the quarterback position. You know, Sean McVay is kind of a classic example of hiring a quarterback guy to coach your football team, and you saw how Jared Goff took off. You got to have somebody on your staff that understands the most important position on the field, and guys, it does pain me to say that, you know, as an offensive lineman, but unfortunately quarterback is the most important position. There's so much emphasis on it in today's offense, and I think Dan Enos is a tremendous quarterback developer, and so I think he'll do a good job with Jaren Williams. No one knows anything about him. He's thrown three passes, so who knows what we'll see. I think who knows what kind of offense we'll see, and that'll be extremely challenging for Florida. I've heard they've been watching Arkansas film, you know, because Dan Enos wasn't even a coordinator last year. He was at Alabama as the quarterback's coach. So no one really knows what to expect from this offense of Miami. But everyone kind of agrees that it can't really get much worse than what they saw last year. So I think people are excited.
On the other side, Felipe, you talk about quarterback play. Is Felipe Franks good enough? Does he take the next step under Mullen to take the next step sort of from that 10-win team they were next last year you know, higher and maybe challenge for an SEC title. What's that offense going to look like? Because you figure the defense is going to be good with the eight starters back, right?
Well, I mean, we just talked about it, right? There's only a few guys who know how to develop quarterbacks. The other side has one, too, and Dan Mullen.
I mean,
he's got a great history of taking guys who are kind of project-type guys. Dak Prescott, Nick Fitzgerald developing into stars, right? And so I think Felipe took a huge leap forward when you look at what he was the year before Dan got there and what he was last year. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see him in this game. I actually called Felipe's first start. It was Michigan versus Florida, and it was a dumpster fire.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that game,
yes.
But
it's a mess.
Dom Brown had him totally confused the whole game, the defensive coordinator from Michigan. He was totally thrown off. I wasn't sure he'd ever be the same afterwards. But give Dan Mullen credit. He came, settled him down.
That's what he does.
Kind of has built his confidence back from the ground up. And all reports are that, you know, he's ready to come out and set the world on fire. Now, you're right. He's going to have to play really well this season for them to have a chance to beat teams like Georgia,
no,
and ultimately Alabama, maybe an SEC championship. But he is talented, and they do have some guys around him. Van Jefferson coming back, their leading receiver, Ole Miss transfer. So I think there's some pieces in place. Michael Pirine is a solid running back they have returning. So mm-hmm. The offensive line really is a big question mark, I think, for this offense. They have four new starters,
yep.
Some talented guys, but we'll see if they're able to kind of pave the way and give Felipe time to make plays.
We are, of course, talking to Barry Jones, ESPN college football analyst, won a couple championships when he played at Alabama, going to be on Miami and Florida this weekend on ESPN Radio. You mentioned you're going to have Oregon and Auburn week one of the season. Auburn announced yesterday that they are going to start true freshman Bo Nix at quarterback. What can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, just a true freshman in the SEC. That just sounds like a tough sledding there.
Yeah, it is tough sledding for sure. Now, you know, I've heard Bo Nix is a very talented kid, but you know, I've said this to a lot of people. I was thinking back this week to my very first game, and I was thinking about just how much tunnel vision you have as a player when you first start. You've been in practice, you've seen all kind of different stuff, and you probably heard the phrase before. But literally, you get out there in the game and you have all the fans, and it's just really hard for your brain to slow everything down and process it because there's just so much happening, so much going on. Everyone's moving around. I remember, for example, playing guard my very first start against Virginia Tech. I was so locked in on blocking this really good three technique. There was a linebacker that walked up right in the gap inside of me, and I just never saw him. I never saw him the whole time because I was just so locked in and focused on what I was doing. And sometimes when you first start playing, that's what nerves can do to you. They can give you that tunnel vision. So it could definitely be a tough spot for him, but I think he's an incredibly talented kid and has a lot of talent around him. So we'll start to see what happens. I think it's clearly, you know, kind of a play for the future and a play that, you know, they feel like he's probably the best guy. They want to win now, but they also want to build something for the next few years.
You know, we figured this Alabama offense gonna just be extremely explosive with Tua, and then obviously you got Jerry Jeudy, who I think Mel Kiper and McShay have got at the top of their big board. But what do you want to see in terms of Tua's development? What's next for him? Everybody's got him high on their boards, but obviously the durability is one thing. But for you, who's you've watched him closely, what do you want to see him do in terms of the next step?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm excited about seeing Tua this year. I think, you know, hopefully he'll be a little healthier. Got kind of banged up, and
mm-hmm.
I would like to see a few things. Number one, a little more toughness, right? I mean, I know he was hurt last year, but at times I think you let it affect him. And just overcoming adversity in general, and not just physical pain, but when he makes a bad play, not letting that turn into a bad game. The thing is, he got off to fast starts in almost every game.
Every game.
He played so well,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the game was normally out of hand midway through the second
Very
quarter
in
a lot
adversity.
Of the games he played.
Yep. Yep.
And so there were a few times throughout the season where adversity came his way. He made one or two bad reads, which is going to happen, especially when you're throwing the ball around the field as many times as he was. I'd like to see him come and respond, settle down after one of those mistakes, and come back and win a game kind of in a big drive fashion. And that's, you know, it's not his fault, but he just wasn't put in any of those scenarios and situations. And the ones he was, he didn't necessarily handle them that well. So I'm sure that's no secret to him, but I think that's something he's been focusing on all offseason.
No doubt.
And I'm excited to see how he'll handle it.
There was a piece up at New York Mag, and maybe this is just because they don't really know how to cover college football in New York, but the headline was "College Football's Real Evil Villain," and it was Dabo Swinney. They contended that, you know, Dabo is the evil villain that college football needs, and I guess they were basing it on the fact that Kelly Bryant didn't get a championship ring. Do you look at Dabo as an evil villain in college football? Because I feel like Nick Saban would almost be viewed more as the evil villain in college football because he runs everything.
That's disrespectful to Nick Saban, man. He's the evil villain.
He truly is.
Everybody knows that.
Yep.
I think Dabo, it's hard to really, if you've met Dabo before, like he's just such a genuinely nice guy. It's really hard for me to paint him as an evil villain. I remember the first time I had an interview with Dabo, and I had three questions I was going to ask him. I told him that before the interview. He said, that's great. Three questions, and it'll be really quick, Coach. And I asked him these three questions, and I'm telling you that the interview lasted almost 10 minutes. Just because he gave the most thoughtful answers. And this is when his team was walking in the locker room.
No doubt.
He acted like he had nowhere to be and just truly treats everyone like that. If you talk to anyone in the program, so it's hard for me to call him a villain. Now, I get what they're saying, maybe. Look, the whole Kelly Bryant thing is absolutely ridiculous to me. I mean, of course the guy doesn't deserve a ring. I mean, I could go on and on about our culture and participation trophies and yada. But, I mean, look, the guy, I mean, I understand he made a decision that he thought was best for him, but I don't know why you would expect to have a national championship ring when you leave the team by your own choice. So that to me is a ridiculous take. And you're right. Not surprising coming out of New York, I guess. Tell them to stay in the NFL where they belong.
We love your Harbaugh takes. Is this the year for Michigan? Will they be celebrating a win over Ohio State and more?
Oh, that is that's a good one. And I'll just say that it better be.
It bet, right? Put up or shut up time, right?
The water's getting really hot over there. Harbaugh finds a way to lose again to Ohio State, especially. I mean, there's a lot of question marks around. Now, Ohio State's got a ton of talent, but there's a lot of question marks as far as who is Justin Fields, how will he look. It's got to be the year with Shea Patterson still there and a lot of the pieces still in place and all the excitement about Justin Gattis bringing the spread.
Mm-hmm.
It better be the year. Personally, it's just hard for me to say yes when I haven't seen Harbaugh really win a big game yet. I mean, he really hasn't had that marquee victory. I mean, he's had a few solid wins, but really the national spotlight, and I called the one last year that was his biggest opportunity, where they have to beat Ohio State essentially to probably go to a playoff, and they lay an egg. So, yeah, it was a mess, and we'll see if he can change that trend, but he better change the trend because as much hype and various noise that guy makes, he needs to back it up with some big wins eventually.
I agree with you completely. Do you think if he doesn't do it, loses to Ohio State again, they underachieved this season, do you think, I mean, let's talk about how hot the water is. Do you think they'd make a move on him or do they give him another year and another try at it next year?
Gosh, it's just so hard. And it just depends on so many factors and appearances and how it feels. Because, I mean, you have to really look
around.
That's
part of the job,
think,
right?
And Michigan's a premier program,
mm-hmm.
but you have to always look at replacement value. You have to think about, like, who out there do they want to hire that they think gives them a better chance to win than Jim Harbaugh?
That's true.
I'm not saying there's not a guy. I'm just saying if you make that move, you better be ready to replace it with a big name, and you better open up that checkbook and go out and get somebody pretty good. Because, look, Harbaugh, as much as we like to give him a hard time, I mean, I think everyone would pretty much agree he's at least in the top 10 coaches in college football, right? So
mm-hmm.
You better come in with a big name and somebody who's going to be really good if you're going to let him go.
That's
but I think it's not outside the realm because, even though I still think Alabama-Auburn is the best rivalry and if not college football, maybe if not all sports, definitely college football. Ohio State Michigan's up there too. And the folks up there in Ann Arbor, they care a little bit about the regular, how the rest of the games go, but they care
That's
mostly about how that game at the end goes.
Yep.
Because their neighbors over there, they don't let them forget when that kind of happens, when they lose that many times in a row. So I'm sure you guys have seen the talk on Twitter. Even I pick up on it. So they don't like that, and it wouldn't shock me to see them make a move, especially if they get embarrassed again.
If it's
like
embarrassing.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yep. We are talking to Barrett Jones, college ball analyst for ESPN. Going to be on the call at Miami, Florida on ESPN Radio this weekend. Three-time national champion at Alabama. There was a ranking system over at ESPN, I think, that posted this week because it's the 150th year of college football. So there's a lot of coverage of that. Tennessee came in at number 14. I'll ask the question this way, Barrett. Over the next 150 years, do they stay in the top 50?
Well, I think they stay in the top 50, yes. Did you say 15 or 50?
15, stay in the top 50, 50, yeah.
The 50, I think they stay in the top, 50,
in the top
yes.
50,
yes. I mean, I think they're still, look, they're still, 15? any program that's as committed to winning as they are, they still have a lot of guys in their front office. I mean, I was reading an article this morning about the various schools' recruiting budgets, and that's the latest thing is how much money people are spending on recruiting
mm-hmm.
and, how it's an outcry and should all go to the institutions and everything. But Tennessee, I think, was third with how much they spent on recruiting. So Look, I'm just telling you, it's a shame that it's set up the way it is, but if you're spending the third most on recruiting, you're going to get some players, you're going to have good coaches, and you're going to win some football games. Now, I think Tennessee this year, they're still a few years away from making national noise. That's no secret. But they're starting to build something out there. They have a really good staff. I'm very impressed. Look, Jim Chaney was a huge hire for that offense. I think he's the perfect guy that kind of fits Jeremy Pruitt's mindset of what he wants to do offensively. They just got to get better up front. That the cupboard was extremely bare when they came in there, that new staff came in under Jeremy Pruitt. They had, especially up front on both sides of football, defensively and offensively, along the lines, there wasn't a whole lot of depth there. And especially that offensive line, it was one of the most brutal units I've seen in a long time last season. I think they'll probably have two true freshman starters, possibly at the bookend tackle. So it might be a bumpy year, but help's on the way.
I got one more for you, Barrett. Herbert over at Oregon. Can he overtake Tua in terms of first quarterback taking? I mean, he's got the size, right, the big arm. He's got to show he can be consistently accurate. But do you think – I mean, is Tua the guy for next year's draft? Or do you think a guy like Herbert can overtake him and be the number one quarterback taken?
Well, that's a great question, and it's something I'm definitely going to get to see an up close and personal view of when I get to watch him next week. I'm very excited because I've watched some tape of him, and he has times where he looks like a number one draft pick,
right.
And then he has other times where he just kind of blends in and looks average. So, can he take a big step forward? I mean, the thing is, if you were going to make the argument that he was going to go, it'd be because he has more of that prototypical size,
yes, sir.
You know, that guys like to see. He's the big, tall pocket-style passer, NFL quarterback. But it seems to me like that matters less and less. You know, Russell Wilson, those kind of guys have sort of changed that perception a little bit in the league, right? Drew Brees kind of started that movement.
Yeah.
And not that Tua is short, per se, but he's not doesn't have the same kind of stature as a Justin Herbert. So I feel like that maybe matters a little bit less to people.
I think you might be right.
I think it'll be tough.
Barrett, always appreciate the time, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Always fun, guys. Have a great week.
Yep.
He is Barrett Jones, college football analyst for ESPN, going to be on the call this weekend, Miami, Florida, week zero. This is technically week zero, not week one, Jason.
Man, he has risen fast.
Yes.
And didn't we know from the first time?
We really did.
I hate to take credit for it,
yes.
But we were saying it from the first time we heard him on radio. It
yeah,
was fantastic.
I mean,
first time we had him on.
He's already done TV, but I just get the vibe from him that he's going to be a staple very soon on television.
He's not cookie cutter.
Right.
Like the rest of these, you know
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And plus, I mean, obviously, you haven't played the game at the highest level. You win three national championships. You're going to be expert on everything.
Yep, but you
get the stories, and it's just not it's Barrett. It's unlike anything else.
Yeah.
Right? It's genuine.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's why he comes across so well.
Yeah, I think he's a star, for
no
sure.
No doubt about it.
Anyway, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.